And with that being said, this morning, as we continue this series, looking at the life of Joshua, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 2. Last week, we talked about being strong and courageous. How Joshua had a daunting task to take over from Moses to lead a few million Israelites across the Jordan River to take over the promised land. But there were a lot of obstacles that were going to be in their way. And there would be a lot of fear involved with that. And the first thing that God tells Joshua is you need to be strong and courageous. And it's the same for you and I in our lives, that we have to be strong and courageous. That's a recipe, that's an ingredient for us to be a warrior. And that's what God calls us to be spiritual warriors so that we can overcome the things in this life, the obstacles that get in our way, the things that seem very hard or difficult. And this morning we're going to continue looking at another essential ingredient of a warrior, and that is preparation, being prepared. Have you ever went into something and thought, I wasn't ready for that? Have you ever been there? You were ill-prepared. I remember the first ministry I had was being a youth minister. I had no intentions in Bible college of being a youth minister. Teenagers, junior hires, no. I was one of those once, and I don't want to be around them, was my mindset. And, you know, I was a preaching major in college. I didn't take any youth ministry classes, but the tail end of me being in school, you know, I was contacted by a church, and I felt led. I didn't understand it, but I went. And I went to the office for the very first day, and I left on my lunch break, and I was driving in my vehicle, and I thought to myself, I am not prepared for this. I don't even know where to start. And being in a situation where you're not prepared can be scary. It can be difficult. And for the Israelite people, they're in a situation where they might feel that they're not prepared. But we're going to look at three individuals today in a story that we see in Joshua chapter 2. Very unlikely group, but God brings them together. You see that they were prepared, and God was able to use them as mighty warriors to continue his plan. And so in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, the story starts like this. Then Joshua, son of Nun, that's one of those, you know, you could ask somebody, who in the Bible doesn't have a father? And you could stump them, say, Joshua, son of Nun. All right, let's get back on track. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. It's in there. I didn't make that up. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. That was a strategic, highly important. So they went and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. And the story starts out and it just kind of sounds bizarre, doesn't it? Like, what is God up to? We're sending spies going to this fortified city, and they go to hang out with a prostitute. God's going to use these three individuals to show us what a warrior is like. What is the preparation routine for a warrior? What can develop a warrior? What can develop someone who is prepared so they can face the battle? I want to make three observations from our story this morning as we continue to look how it unfolds. The first is warriors are concerned with faithfulness more than self-preservation. It is so easy in this life to focus on yourself. Often it's our natural go-to, our natural instinct, especially when we face something difficult. We want to know how it affects me. Me, 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 I. God would ask us not to look in, but to look out and to look up. And we're going to see that from these individuals. We assume that these two spies, we don't know who they are, we don't know their names, but they must have been trustworthy individuals. Joshua, out of a couple million Israelites, chooses these two spies. They must have had the heart of a warrior. And Joshua knew that. That they must have been men of great integrity. Because they could have easily went into the city, the city, the walls around Jericho were massive. The people of Jericho were ruthless. And this was intimidating for the Israelite people. God is calling them that they're going to go and they're going to overtake the city of Jericho. And I would imagine a vast majority of them thought, yeah, I don't think so. Do you remember the little song? The 12 spies? Two were good and 10 were bad. because they didn't believe. They didn't believe that God could give them the victory. And so these two spies, they go. And they must have been men of integrity because they could have easily surveyed the situation and thought, yeah, I'm jumping to their side. There's no way. But we see in them a heart of a warrior, and they don't do that. For these Israelites, this was intimidating. There was an uncertain future before them. And that mirrors our lives. There's a lot of uncertainty in our future. And are we going to allow, let's say, the walls of Jericho in your life to stop you? Or as we talked last week, will you be driven by faith rather than fear? And for the Israelites, the city of Jericho, it represented something that was impossible. It represented something that was so much bigger than they were that they could, it was overwhelming. But for a few, they remember just how big their God was. And that's what motivated these two spies, these great warriors. For the Israelites, they didn't understand God's plan, and that's very reminiscent for you and I in our lives as well, but we have to be people who trust. For these two spies, it was not about themselves. Rather, they looked out and they looked up. They wanted to serve others, they wanted to serve God and help God's plan unfold. They knew that they had a mission. We don't receive their names. We don't know who they are, and I would imagine God planned that for a reason. He wanted to point out that it's not about you, it's not about me, but the fact that each and every one of us are on a mission. If you're a Christian, you're part of the PCC church family, we're all on a mission, right? It's when you become a Christian, it's not you clock in and you clock out. It's not just when you're here on Sunday morning. We're on mission while we're here. We're on mission when we walk out of these doors and we walk in to our daily lives. God calls each and every one of us into a mission to serve because it's not about us, it's about others. You go to the book of Acts. You see in the book of Acts, the early church is birthed. It starts to grow. It's going to different cities. And in some of these cities, corporate worship was outlawed. And you would think, well, game over. Church is going to be stopped. That isn't good that they face persecution, but it was the best thing that could have happened because the early Christians were prepared. They had the heart of a warrior, and they weren't going to let it stop them because they didn't focus on themselves. They didn't say, oh, pity us, but they said, you know what? If we can't do it here, we'll go there. And the church scattered, and it spread, and it did God's will. So we don't know much about the two spies other than they went. And we don't know how they come upon Rahab. How they cross paths, we don't know, but it leads to our second observation. Warriors are willing to risk their lives to be on God's side. We know that Rahab was a prostitute. How in the world is God going to use this woman? How is this going to unfold? Well, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 2, continuing the story, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. And so somehow it's been discovered that these guys had visited Rahab. And so the king, obviously, he wants to protect his city. He sends his officials to go and investigate what is going on so that he can undo this plot and probably punish Rahab. And now she has a decision to make. Later in the story, we learn that she knew about the God of the Israelites and what was going to happen in short time. And so, for Rahab, she examined the situation and something changed in her. She realized, I'm on the wrong side of this. She realized the God of the Israelites is the one true God. The false God idol worship that I follow, it's not the real deal. And so her heart starts to change. She was going to be willing to risk her life to be on God's side. And so the king's men arrive, and now the heat is on. They're knocking at the door, and now it's decision time. Verse 4, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the king's men, they believe her story. They hurry and they rush out the city gates, and behind them the city gates close. No way in, no way out. And did you notice when she had to make a split second decision, she opened that door. She had to have an answer, and she didn't hesitate. Why? Because warriors are willing to risk their lives to be on God's side. Her heart had changed. And that causes us to ask the question, how well do we swim upstream? How well do we go against the grain? Are we willing to risk things to be on God's side? It could be at work where your boss is telling you, you know, just fudge this here and do that, and that will help our bottom dollar. I mean, there's all kinds of situations where we could bend the rules here, do something different here, have this secret there, and try to maneuver and get around things. But what if we stood up for our Christian values? And we went against the stream. We went against the grain. We were willing to risk, maybe not our life, but risk something to be on God's side like Rahab did. Or do we just wimp out? It takes a warrior's heart to do that. But oftentimes it's really easy to just sit on the sidelines and let someone else do it. There's a story from January 4th, 1982. That was BD before Dave. But in Washington, D.C., an airplane had just taken off, and it hadn't gone far at all, and it crashed into the Potomac River. It was in the middle of the winter. The river was mostly iced over. The plane, I mean, it busted the ice loose. Parts of the plane were scattered all about the river. And there weren't a lot of passengers. There were 79, but 74 of them died. There were five people who were still alive. They were trying to rescue them. They brought a helicopter in. They would lower down a rope with one of those things. If someone's drowned in the water, you throw it out to them, the ring. And people would hold on to it, and they would hoist them up. They got four of them. There was one young woman left. By the time they got to her, she was so cold, so worn out. Every time she grabbed it and they started to hoist it up, she couldn't hold on. And by that time, there was people lining both sides of the Potomac River, and they were just in awe of what was going on, just the shock and awe. And the story goes that the young woman, it wasn't being successful, and she started screaming, "Someone help me, someone help me." And there was a young 28-year-old intern who worked at Congress by the name of Lenny Skutnik. As he watched the situation, he was interviewed afterwards, said, "Why'd you jump in and save her?" He said, "Well, I just felt like God went, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You're mo." And he said, "I took off my coat, I took off my boots, and I just jumped in." He swam out to her, and he saved her life. And for you and I, we stand on the banks of the river of life. And God, he doesn't say, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo." We're all mo, whether you like it or not. We're all mo. God has an expectation of his followers that we jump in the river, and often we stand at the edge of the river of life. We say, "Boy, that looks dangerous. Water's awful cold. I don't know if I can do that. I don't have time. It's not important." God is calling each and every one of us to step forward in faith and to risk something to be on God's side. Because often to be on God's side, it's going to go counterculture. But we shouldn't be afraid of that. So Rahab, she was prepared. And it's not that God was condoning her past, but he was calling her to a better life, which leads to the observation, the third observation. Warriors are confident that God is personally involved in their lives. Before the spies go to sleep that night, Rahab goes up to the roof and talks to them, and she says, "I know that the Lord," in verse 9, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." And the next few verses, Rahab goes on to tell them, "You know, we heard about the Red Sea." Oh, you've heard about the Red Sea. That happened like 40 years ago. But somehow the news traveled. They understood that their God parted the Red Seas, and a couple million Israelites crossed on dry ground. And then Egypt's army was drowned after they crossed. God brought the sea back together. And then she goes on to tell him, yeah, we heard about the two mighty kings that your people defeated. What she's getting at is, we've heard about you. You guys have a reputation, and everybody inside this city, they're scared of you. And then in verse 21, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. And listen to what she says. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. What a statement for an idol-worshiping prostitute to make. Her heart has changed. She's willing to risk something, her life, for God. And she makes this statement, the Lord your God, he's not just the God of the heavens, which many world religions, they teach that there is a God of the universe or the heavens, but there's not a God that's actively involved in your life on this earth. And that's the difference of Christianity. And she knew that all these years ago. That's why she risked her life. She believed that God, the God of these spies, was active even in her life. And that should be a reassurance to you and I, that when it seems things are out of control, it seems God's not there, he is. Our God has got us. He's got our back, and he sees our challenges, and he will walk through them with us every single time. And so, right then and there, the spies make a deal with Rahab that when they come to destroy the city, that they will leave her home alone. I didn't say that in the first service. That sounds funny. That she was going to let down a scarlet rope to identify her home, and then she let down another rope. The spies climbed down, and they ran off into the night. And then the spies, they find Joshua, and they give Joshua the report of what had happened. And of all the things that the spies could have reported on, here's what they say in verse 24. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." I couldn't imagine the jubilation in their voices as they reported to Joshua. And perhaps that changed the mood or the attitude of some of the other Israelites who were the naysayers saying it's impossible. The spies had hope. It had been renewed. Why? Well, because of Rahab and her warrior heart. She was prepared, and when those soldiers knocked on the door, she chose God. That gave them a renewed hope. And also that God who is active in their lives. They'd seen God do it before, and they knew that God could do it again. On the surface, you look at Rahab's life, and you think, boy, her life had been one big mistake. She had lived a very immoral life. But I think the biggest mistake that she could have ever made in her life is when those guys come and they knocked on the door, that she didn't choose God. And that's the biggest mistake that we can make, is when God is knocking at the door of our hearts, but we don't choose him. We need to choose to have the heart of a warrior, being prepared so we can go into the battle of life. And so you look at this woman's life. No longer does she identify herself as Rahab the prostitute, but now she is a follower of God, and it's going to change the direction of her life. A little while longer, she'll marry a Jewish man. Guess who her great-grandchild will be? King David. Who will then be in her lineage? Jesus. What's God trying to prove here? What's he pointing out to us? That God can graft in any person into his family tree. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. That he will graft you in if you want to give him your life. You want to turn your life over to him and follow after his son, Jesus Christ. Rahab was prepared. She was prepared to be a mighty warrior. And when the pressure was on, she did exactly what God needed her to do. To be that warrior so that God's plan could unfold. And for you and I, God is calling us to be mighty spiritual warriors so that we can go forth in our lives and accomplish God's will. God has a will for us to go and spread the name of Jesus. that Jesus would be made famous, that people would be served, that God would be honored. That's God's desire for each and every one of us in this room. And so here's a challenge for you. Each day, I challenge you to pray a prayer. It's very short and it's very simple. Ask God, "Dear God, can I be a warrior for you today?" And you may not know what that's going to be when you say it, but God will reveal it if you're faithful. God needs us. Just like God needed the two spies, and God needed Rahab, and three unlikely people that God combined together accomplished something very great, because in just a short matter of time, the Israelites will cross that river. Maybe you know about the story. Marching around those city gates, city wall, and all it took was the blow of some trumpets, and God was victorious. So this morning, it's time to choose a side, just like Rahab chose. And if you've yet to choose Jesus, then we urge you this morning that you would think about that, that you would consider what that might be for you. And if you want to have a discussion as what it means to choose Jesus, I'd love to talk to you today. Whether that's up front in a moment, or if it's after church in the lobby, or sometime this week. If you feel led to make a decision, I don't want you to put that off. Because just as Rahab had a split second, we don't know how long we have to make that decision. So this morning, it's the greatest decision you can ever make, is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And for many of you, you've already done that. And as we sing, maybe you need to begin that prayer today as we sing this song, "God, make me a warrior today." Let's stand and let's worship.